We're revisiting John's Gospel. So if you have the Red Church Bible or your own Bible, in the Red Church Bible, that's on page 1082, John chapter 14. 1082, John chapter 14, commencing at verse 1. Okay? Verse 1 then, of chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Let us pray. We come now, Heavenly Father, in these moments to consider your word together. We pray that you would help us. Without you, we are completely lost. Your word was given so that we might understand who you are and what you have done. Also, to comfort and to reassure us. We pray the Spirit of God would come now and enlighten our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Saying goodbye can sometimes be a painful experience. Sometimes we're troubled and confused. Some of you will have had relatives and friends staying or visiting during this holiday time, and the moment arrives, or did arrive, when you had to say goodbye. There can be so much uncertainty in that word, because sometimes we're not sure when we'll meet again. When Craig and Corin, Craig being one of our ministers for those of you who don't know, when Craig and Corin leave Australia and say goodbye in a few days' time and return to the UK, there will be considerable emotion in their goodbye. They leave friends and family. Craig is an Australian, and when our Australian friend returns, we'll be able to greet him with a winning smile. Thank you. Some of you thought about that one. We will feel quite sorry for him. Shortly, Andy Gemmell will say goodbye as he concludes his time here at this church. All of us, at some time in our lives, will have to say an emotional goodbye. When Jesus Christ came on his mission to rescue the human race from its sin, he spent about 3 years with a group of men, his disciples, who he trained to be the people who would continue to make God's rescue plan known. The time arrived where Jesus, knowing he would soon be crucified, had to say goodbye to these men. They were very confused and troubled. Excuse me a moment. This is what Jesus had to say to them. Reading from a slightly different version from what we had this morning, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know. We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Let me ask you, don't you think, as we begin 2011, that we should be very thankful that men like the Apostle John wrote an account of the life of Jesus Christ so that we would know who he really was, is. This morning, I would like us to think about who the real Jesus is. Not who people think Jesus is, but what Jesus actually said about himself according to an eyewitness, his disciple John. Specifically, we're going to look at Jesus' statement, "I am the way and the truth and the life." We live in a world lacking direction. And you know, like I do, that there are plenty of people who cannot wait to offer direction, usually for a price, of course. And they only exist because people are searching for direction, for certainty, for purpose and meaning and hope. They're looking for direction in all the wrong places, we might say. We live in a world lacking direction. We also live in a world under deception. Who can you trust? Unfortunately, it's the politicians that always get the highlight at this point. Can we trust them? Can we trust the people who report the news in the media? Is it complete and unvarnished? The church, is it telling us the truth? The Bible helps us to understand that those who would deceive will continue to grow in number, in intensity, in depth of deception. We live in a world under deception. We also live in a world of death and decay. That's been highlighted for us quite graphically this morning. The general view of people I talk to consider death to be the final event. It's all over for them. They're very straightforward. They tell me that there cannot possibly be anything else beyond this life, this existence. Some are quite firm. They tell me it's ridiculous to suggest that there is life after death. After all, no one knows because we all die, so we will never know. We live in a world of death. Despite all of this, Jesus remains the way, the truth, and the life. To a world lacking direction, Jesus the way says, "Follow me." To a world under deception, Jesus the truth says, "Believe in me." To a world of death, Jesus the life says, "I have come that you might have life more abundantly." And Jesus, in introducing himself like this as the way, the truth, and the life, begins by urging upon his followers what I believe he would urge upon us today. Don't let your heart be troubled. These are words that we need to hear, but also they are words that Jesus' followers needed to hear then. Looking back, we note that Jesus had told his disciples of his impending betrayal by one of them. Then he told them that he'd only be with them a little while longer. He said he was going away. They had no idea where he was going. They had every reason for their hearts to be troubled. In fact, how could their hearts not be? And yet he said to them, as he says to us, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Jesus commands us not to allow our hearts to be troubled. And then he gives us the key to the accomplishment of this seemingly impossible task. Trust in God, trust also in me. In verses 2 and 3 of chapter 14, Jesus calms a couple of their fears. He tells them that there is a purpose to his going. He will prepare a place for them, and that his stay there will not be permanent. He promises to return to them so that they will be together eternally. And Jesus says, "I'm going away, but when I come back, we'll go to live in the Father's house." By this time, Thomas, who was an honest sort of speak his mind type, had just about had all he could take. So being irritated and frustrated, he blurts out, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How in the world are we going to know how to get there?" Of course, we all know people like Thomas. We know how they feel, and they make it very plain what they're thinking. And Thomas had already said he was willing to follow Jesus and to die with him if necessary. And Thomas despaired of ever learning the way and was not ready to accept a state of permanent bewilderment. Jesus responds to Thomas' question like this. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." In other words, Jesus Christ is our certainty in an uncertain world. Jesus is the way. This claim stands as the only means of reconciliation between God and man. Jesus Christ is the only road, the only path that will lead to God. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't say, "I know the way." He says instead, "I am the way." Jesus came to bridge the gulf between man and God with a cross that would signify the ugliness of sin and the grace of God in one fell swoop. And when he cried out from the cross, "It is finished," yes, it was. The price had been paid and the way had been made. And Peter proclaimed, as we read in the book of Acts in chapter 4 and verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Jesus Christ is the only road. The Apostle Paul also describes God's one method of reconciling sinners to himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 to 20, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The way is not a recipe, a religion, or rules. It is found in a relationship. The way is not a program or a perspective. It is a person. Jesus provides us the certainty of reconciliation because he himself is the way. And to a world lacking direction, Jesus is the way. Jesus is also the truth. Today, people are skeptical about the truth of Jesus' claims. They choose not to believe. It isn't, as we know, for a lack of interest in spiritual things, but unfortunately, people are not looking to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Why? Because they're responding to Jesus' claims the same way that Pilate did when Jesus revealed he was king and he had come to testify to the truth, and that anyone who really loves the truth will recognize the truth in Jesus' words. Pilate's response was, "What is truth?" A lot of people today are like Pilate. They ignore Jesus' words because they do not believe there is an absolute truth. We no longer live in a world that believes in absolute truth. Truth has become relative to the person. And when you say Jesus has died for you, or Jesus has died for me, you might hear a comment like this: that may be true for you, but it isn't true for me. My friends told me that at Christmas when I met with them again. In many of our minds, it is either true absolutely all the time or not at all. Either Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life all the time for every person, or he isn't. Jesus makes this claim: "I am the truth." Everything that passes for truth in this world can be measured alongside Jesus, and whatever would pass for truth that does not equate with his life, his teaching, his truth, is not truth at all, no matter what the source might be. "I am the truth," Jesus says to a world under deception. He is the certainty of reliability. And Jesus finally says, "I am the life." Without believing Jesus is the way and the truth, we cannot experience life. Jesus said, "I am the life." The very first words of John's Gospel teach us that Jesus was the co-creator of life with his Father. John 1, verses 1 to 4 say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Jesus was the author of life with his Father at the beginning of time. He helped breathe life into the very first inhabitants of our planet. However, Jesus told us that in order to experience eternal life with God in heaven and an abundant life right now on this earth, we must trust in him. We can trust him totally. Jesus declares himself to be the resurrection and the life. His resurrection life points to the future resurrection of our bodies to eternal life. That is Jesus' promise. Jesus is the life. He gives us the certainty of abundant life here and eternal life with him in heaven. On the basis of his claims to be in himself the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus could say to his followers, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me." This was a bold call, not merely to follow the mighty God of the Old Testament, who demonstrated his power with mighty works, but a call to follow one who would soon be betrayed, denied, abandoned, and crucified. "I am the way," said one who would soon hang impotent on a cross. "I am the truth," he said, when the evil lies of men were about to enjoy a spectacular, if only momentary, triumph. "I am the life," said one whose corpse would soon be placed in a borrowed tomb. And yet the Bible boldly declares the astonishing fact that Jesus rose from the tomb 3 days after death. And if that's true, how can we doubt that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, as he said he was, then there are two responses we must make. First of all, we have to decide if we're going to trust Jesus as our path to the Father, both now and eternally. And so I appeal to you, if you've not made that choice, you need to take a step of faith and believe in him. Believe that by trusting in him, he will bring you into relationship with God, and you will find amazing, abundant life as a result of being in Christ. And secondly, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we have a responsibility to help others to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us. God will use us to share his message of reconciliation, and we get the privilege and honor of leading those who are lacking direction, under deception, and dominated by death, to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. So, here we are, facing a new year. We have been warned, have we not, that it will be a difficult year. How those difficulties will impact on us individually, as families, in our jobs, etc., we do not know. We have no idea. Perhaps you're confused today and troubled. The Savior comes to us and says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Amen.